You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the latest now on Capitol Hill with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. She joined with her Democratic colleagues this week, signing on to the Freedom to Travel for Healthcare Act. We'll discuss reproductive legislation in the aftermath of Roe. Straight away with your questions to join in, 800-642-1234. Senator Baldwin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
It's a pleasure to join you.
So when Roe was reversed 3 weeks ago, you said women will now have fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers have had for decades. What is the path forward for Democrats who feel pressure to codify Roe and for Congress to pass a law that would provide the same protections that Roe did?
You know, I think we're taking an all of the above approach. We have brought for a vote my Women's Health Protection Act, which would not only codify Roe, but would prevent states from taking the sort of measures they've enacted for years now to really constrict that right. The filibuster prevented us from passing that, and we are now really focusing on things like the Freedom to Travel for Healthcare Act. This morning or afternoon, we will be asking for a vote on that. That would allow women in a state like Wisconsin that has an existing law criminalizing people who perform abortions. It would allow people to travel across state lines to access health care and make sure that neither the provider nor the individual would be subject to those criminal laws. We will continue to highlight the incredibly high stakes that are, you know, going to be really literally on the ballot this fall. Mm. And so there's a, you know, as I said, it's an all of the above approach.
On the day Roe was overturned, your colleague Joe Manchin of West Virginia had a statement saying he'd support legislation that would codify the rights of Roe v. Wade, previously protected. Are you working with him on what that looks like?
We have been working collectively on that issue. The I think the real problematic part of this is that it is not enough to codify Roe versus Wade, because we know in so many states there have been state laws passed that really limit access to abortion care and comprehensive reproductive rights, including in Wisconsin. And if you don't also address those laws, codifying Roe versus Wade will not necessarily in certain states allow access to comprehensive reproductive rights.
This abortion travel vote that you're preparing to see action on in the House and Senate here, you know, protecting a person's ability to cross state lines to seek reproductive care. I think it's the House side that clarifies the protections for interstate commerce on abortion pills, and I'm not sure if that's in the Senate's version. Are there legal dangers around the movement of out-of-state abortion medication, and what would this, you know, Travel for Health Care Act do about that?
The bill that we are going to be trying to debate this afternoon is really narrowly focused on travel. But we will shortly be taking up measures that deal with other aspects of this, you know, very, very consequential Supreme Court decision overturning 5 decades of precedent. I can't emphasize enough that this means that in Wisconsin, where we revert to a law that was passed in 1849, say to a whole generation of women that you have fewer freedoms than your mother and your grandmother, this is so consequential. And just like the folks who have been working for overturning Roe versus Wade for decades, we have a long fight ahead of us. And so, yes, we will be looking at legislation around medicinal abortion, freedom to travel, but there's many, many other aspects of this. For example, data brokers who are who track people's whereabouts and can sell data of, were you in a parking lot adjacent to a Planned Parenthood? This is a really significant effort.
I'm going to reintroduce you here as we talk with U.S. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin on reproductive rights, the latest legislation connected to the reversal of Roe v. Wade, and the conversations and bills moving on Capitol Hill. You can join in 800-642-1234. Senator, Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call last month filed a lawsuit against the state's 1849 law that bans most abortions, as you mentioned. And here's Attorney General Call at a news conference announcing the lawsuit.
This law was passed well before women had the right to vote. It was passed before the Civil War. It uses terminology that is outdated and leaves doctors and others uncertain.
Do you support the lawsuit?
Absolutely. The idea that women in Wisconsin are, seeing the clock turn back to the 19th century is stunning. Of all the states, we have the oldest abortion law. And I can tell you there were no women in the legislature in that session in 1849, sort of informing the debate. There were no women even voting for legislators in that session of the state legislature. This is very disturbing. And I have to say, all credit to Governor Tony Evers, who upon the Supreme Court decision in Dobbs said, we have to hold a special session of the legislature to deal with this. And the legislative leaders, the Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature, gaveled in and gaveled out without taking any action.
Attorney General Josh Call has said he won't enforce our 1849 ban, not prosecute abortion cases or go after them. What is your advice to attorneys general and DAs that seek to fight these abortion bans?
Well, certainly they ought to be doing it, but look at the reality on the ground for women. In the meantime, we don't have any providers in Wisconsin, because we have a law that would criminalize the abortion procedure and criminalize subject to prosecution doctors and nurses, and so the reality for women in Wisconsin is they have to leave the state to go to a state that does provide abortion care. And that's just untenable. We need to make sure that in America, a woman's freedom to control her own body, to plan for a family, and to seek health care does not depend on what state she resides in.
This is adjacent question. Some court reform ideas that Senate Democrats are mulling over or being talked about: expanding the Supreme Court, imposing term limits on justices, requiring the High Court to adopt a code of ethics to give more transparency. Of these things, what do you support or oppose?
You know, again, at this point in time, we're looking at an all of the above approach. It is untenable in the United States in the 21st century that women have, gone back a half century in terms of the precedent of Roe versus Wade, and in Wisconsin, a lot longer than that, because of our 1849 law. It's also in such conflict with the values of American people, where overwhelmingly they support a woman's freedom to control when and whether to have a family, her body, her access to health care.
I just want to pause here and take a call. Ricky is joining us from Sheboygan, Senator. Ricky, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to kind of ask, and as I was telling them, I don't mean to call somebody out by name. However, what do you feel is the likelihood of the ban being appealed, or some of these other protections that you mentioned you were working on being able to get passed in the state of Wisconsin, with like Robin Voss being so vocally opposed and so many people almost saying that they're devoting all of their time to make sure the ban stays? And it's just very concerning living in the state of Wisconsin to see such strong opposition and the worry of anything really being able to get done.
Ricky, thanks for the call. Senator.
We have to use our voices and our votes. And I think that we should all view Roe versus Wade to be on the ballot this fall. And we should look at whether each of the individuals that are on our ballots are standing by women's freedom to control their own reproductive choices, or whether they stand in opposition to that. And frankly, it's so sad that this is partisan. It used to be that there was a very broad bipartisan support for the Roe versus Wade decision. That's no longer the case, but we need to be very active citizens, and that is, let's say democracy is not a spectator sport; it's a participatory sport, and we have to get out there and vote. So that's what I'd say to Ricky: is not only you, but everybody who cares deeply about women's freedom. We need to vote in folks who stand by our freedoms.
Lori, now in Shano, before we move on to the next topic, Lori, go ahead.
Hi. I remember years ago, OBGYNs were not wanting to deliver babies because they would get sued because of injury. And now with this, because states have so many different laws on this, how much are they going to be penalized now? And with so these people think that they are saving all these lives, but yet what's going to happen with all these kids? That because they're going to be older mothers who are going to have kids that have Down syndrome and other issues, younger kids like 10 years old getting raped, they're going to be by a family member, they're going to have kids that are not right, because physically, emotionally, because of incest.
And because we're short on time, Lori, Senator Baldwin, what are the repercussions here?
Lori is right that there are many, many repercussions. Women's lives and health care and reproductive health will be put at jeopardy. And I think Lori's initial question was, what do people in the obstetrics and gynecology profession going to do because they're subject to prosecution under Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law? They're not going to be able to do what is medically recommended and will have to turn folks away or recommend that they leave the state for the care that they need. That's untenable. I've heard from OB-GYNs from across the state saying we have no clarity on when we can actually follow what is the best medical care for our patients. And so we have to err on the side of not providing care. And that's unacceptable.
Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin stays with us. Join in on your priorities on gun policy agenda, where we go next, your response to Congress on the January 6th investigation as you've watched it unfold this summer. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Senator Baldwin here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin on the line for a few more minutes as we get in a question on gun policy. President Biden heralding the passage of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. Senator, there's polling out from Pew that says Americans are largely supportive of the gun law passed by Congress and signed into law, but most Americans are not optimistic it will do much. What is next for the federal government to regulate guns?
Well, first of all, this Safer Communities Act ended, approximately 30 years of inaction on gun safety. And I think increased the confidence that Congress can act on gun safety measures in the wake of just so many devastating tragedies in our country. But yes, there is absolutely more to do. And so we want to make sure that the Safer Communities Act, which supports states who enact red flag laws, that closes the so-called boyfriend loophole, that invests in mental health care and enhances the review process for gun buyers who are under 21 years of age. All of these need to be implemented. And then we need to be very exacting about what additional action needs to be taken.
Well, Senator Baldwin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. She has been in the Senate since 2012. Now we turn to Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson for analysis. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. Getting your thoughts there on Senator Baldwin and her approach to the reversal of Roe v. Wade and the legislation that's circulating on Capitol Hill. What are your takeaways?
I mean, I think what you hear from Senator Baldwin is a message similar to what you're hearing from Democrats across the country right now. I mean, none of them would have wanted Roe to be overturned. It's something that they worried about for years, decades. But now that it is overturned, it may be that pushing for abortion rights in the year 2022 is their best political strategy in a year that historically favors Republicans.
What type of momentum do they have, though, when you look at their legislation, whether it's the travel vote, which it looks like it will be getting some action here quite shortly? Do you think that they have the votes?
I everything in the U.S. Senate tends to hinge on the ability to get 60 votes. And, you know, in the case of the one proposal that Senator Baldwin mentioned to begin the interview, the Women's Health Protection Act, which mm-hmm. she co-sponsored, that received a vote in the Senate earlier this year after the leaked draft opinion of Roe came out, and it failed. And in fact, it didn't get every Democrat on board. Senator Joe Manchin voted no. So there's certainly an uphill climb to passing new laws in the Senate, even though Democrats right now control Washington, but kind of by a thread.
What are you watching for on the local level here in state politics following the Roe decision?
Well, I mean, you talked about that lawsuit that was filed by Attorney General Josh Call that was filed in Dane County Circuit Court. And so we're going to see how that plays out in the court system. It makes a couple of arguments. First, that after Roe, Wisconsin passed a series of laws to regulate lawful abortion that are directly inconsistent with that 1849 ban. And then also that the law could be invalidated because it hasn't been used in the 50 years since Roe was decided. Hmm. So we'll be watching to see what happens at the lower court level and then eventually the state Supreme Court.
Sean, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, building on our conversation with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.